Thank you all for coming this evening. Okay, so the topic of is everything really for the best? So this kind of ranges to a whole lot of things. One would be what we might be thinking when people might have different perspectives when they first see the topic. Some might think, oh my gosh, he's talking about tragedies. He's talking about terrible things that happened to the Jewish people and to individuals. There was one this week. I don't know if anybody knows. I forget the name, but the boy in Brooklyn who was murdered. That's the extreme. Is everything for the best? And we look at the extreme tragedies and we say, how could this possibly be for the best? And then the other extreme, perhaps, where I think might have been my inspiration more to ask the question is that when my 5-year-old smacks his 2-year-old brother, right? How do I turn that into being? Is that also really for the best? Is that also, are we supposed to say that there's something good that's coming out of that? So on one hand, we say, well, obviously the worse the tragedy, the more difficult the question is. On the other hand, that might not be true. Because when it's really a earth-shattering thing, either for an individual or for a community. So in a way, that's like bigger. That I can maybe turn around faster than the little time that I stub my toe in my house. So on the other hand, how do you? I think this applies to. But the sources here are going, I think, for both questions, for both extremes. A, for the major things that happen, and those for the minor things that happen. So the regular, if I were just to wake somebody up at 3 in the morning, as I was woken up last night, so I also was wondering the same question. But quickly, does Yiddishkeit think that everything is for the best? And our quick reaction should be, of course, everything is for the best. Hashem runs the world, and that's our reaction. That has very firm basis, which is where I think we'll begin, kind of the status quo. Where do we start from? And there's a pasuk in the beginning of in Parsha Shmini, a famous pasuk, which probably is the basis for this idea, that Moshe says to Aaron. This is after Aaron's children died. Ve'aron Moshe al Aaron, Hu asher dibir Hashem le'mor b'karavai ekadesh ve'al pnei kolam achabeit. Yes, that Moshe says to Aaron that Hashem said that those that are close to me, that is who will be sanctified through me. So what that means, another time. But what Aaron, whatever that means, Moshe said something to Aaron, saying the very fact that your children died on such a day means that they must have been sanctified, means that they must have been very special. So that's, okay, what that means, another time. But the response of Aaron has kind of become very famous, Vayidom Aaron. Aaron remained very silent. So was that a good thing or was that a bad thing? Meaning Aaron's children died. And Aaron isn't moving. Aaron's not saying anything. So the Rashi says, Vayidom Aaron, that yes, Kibel Schar al Shtikaso, that he received Schar, he received reward on the fact that he was quiet. Uma Schar Kibel, what was the reward that he received? Shenis Yachid Imo Hadibur, Shenemar Lo Levado Parsha Shiso Yayin, that Aaron got his own Parsha. What do you mean his own Parsha? That the very next, 3 psukim later, usually when Hashem wants to give a mitzvah, he says, Vayidver Hashem Moshe Leimor. Sometimes when Hashem wants to give a mitzvah, he says, Vayidver Hashem Moshe Be'al Aaron. And 3 psukim later, Hashem introduces the prohibition of doing avoda when one is drunk, when one is drinking wine, and there it simply says, Vayidaber Hashem el Aaron lemor. I mean, it was only spoken to Aaron and not Moshe, because it seems like the reward, that's what Rashi is saying, that because of Aaron's righteousness at this point, so he got rewarded, implying that his righteousness, his silence, his was considered a good thing. And I didn't realize before when I also started this, and a lot of this overlaps with the Rabbi Akiva Shirim that we've been giving on Shabbos, but it's almost like we just finished this past Shabbos 9 Shirim on Rabbi Akiva. We're not going any further on Shabbos afternoon. We're shifting to something else, but in a way this is like 9b. It's like a continuation of the Kiddush Hashem idea that we talked about the last couple of weeks. The Chayv Adam, Rabbi Akiva makes a very famous comment. This is not Rabbi Akiva, this is the Mishnah first. The Mishnah tells us very famously, which is kind of building on the previous idea, Chayav Adam Levarech al Harak, Geshem Shemavarech al Tova. That person is obligated to make a bracha on bad things that happen, just as he makes a bracha on good things that happen. Shleim Marvi, Ahavtas Hashem Elokecha, B'chol Levavcha, B'chol Na'abichol. That we love Hashem with both our Yetzer Tov and our Yetzer Hara. What that means interesting. V'chol nafshecha, afilu hu notel es nafshecha, even if one is giving up their lives, v'chol miyodecha, v'chol mamunech, with all of your money, v'chol miyodecha, v'chol midu, midu shu modeh la'lecha, havi modeh lo. With every midu, with every possible measurement that I could trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so I trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The interpretation of these three psukim are that with everything, no matter what happens, if I have my money or I lost all my money, if I have my health or I lost my health, Hashem is keeping me alive, or my trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu is actually causing my death. I mean, I'm dying on Kiddush Hashem, as Rabbi Akiva did. Right? Still, we're mechayev to give a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, both on the good things and on the bad things. And as we discussed this past Shabbos, listen, we were not really sure what are good things and what are bad things. Okay, so the Gemara, there are comments. Chayev Adam Levarich, so my Chayev Levarich, what is the bracha that one gives al hara? Geshem Shemavarich al tova, what does that mean? So il male, so if you tell me, Geshem Shemavarich al tova, hatova metiv. So you, if you want, you could tell me that there's a bracha of when things have gotten better, we make a bracha atova ametiv. So I would say, oh, you tell me it's a bracha for good and a bracha for bad, so I should make the same bracha. When a good thing happens, I make a bracha atova ametiv. And when a bad thing happens, I thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for making things better for me. V'atanan, that's not correct. Abisoros tovos omer hatova hametiv. Abisoros ros omer baruch dayan ha'emes. No, we make different brachas for the two things. The Mishnah tells us that on good things we say hatova hametiv, and on bad things we say the bracha of dayan ha'emes, that God is the true judge. And Amar Rava lo nitzrucha el lekablu besimcha, that this is necessary in order to accept these things besimcha, with happiness. So Amar Rav Achav, and he quotes a couple of psukim of this idea, chesed mishpa shiru l'acha Hashem azamra, that with kindness and with mishpa, whatever happens, whether God is being kind to us or whether God is being strict with us, we are singing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the next one as well, the Rabban, there are a couple of psukim that are quoted. The Rabban quote a pasuk, Hashem nasar v'Hashem lakach, Hashem shem, Hashem v'rach. Hashem gives and Hashem takes, meaning either way, we're giving brachos. So the Gemara is not really focusing on the fact that there are different brachos here. The Gemara is focusing on the idea that we are giving brachos for each idea. And then there's the famous story of Rabbi Akiva, which is also this is what he did about 2 months ago in the Rabbi Akiva shir. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, Mishum Rabbi Meir, V'chein Tanam Yishmei de Rabbi Akiva. This is told in the name of Rabbi Akiva. L'holam Yehei Adam Ragi Lomar Kol Da Avid Rachman L'Tav Avid. That a person should be used to saying, whatever happens, must have been for the best, was for the good. He had the Rabbi Akiva, right? That's the famous statement, which is kind of the perplexing, challenging one that we were really discussing tonight. What do you mean everything's for the best? So Rabbi Akiva said, turns around, he had the Rabbi Akiva to have a ka'azal be'orcha. It happened once Rabbi Akiva was going on the road. Matalahi masa, he got to a place, vayish bizlo yavile, and he wanted to stay over in the town, and they wouldn't give him a place to rest. Omer called Avir Rachman al-Tav. And he said, okay, it must be a good reason why I'm not, Hashem is not letting me rest here. It must be a good reason. Azul ubas bedav. So instead he went and lived in the desert, and he had with him a rooster and a donkey and a candle. So ata zika and kavil ishraga, along comes a wind and blows out the candle. Asa shunra achle l'tarnagola, along comes a cat and eats the chicken. Right? Sounds like one of the Yom Tov, right? Shunra achle l'tarnagola, and asa arye and achle l'chamra. And along comes a lion, and the lion ate up his donkey. So Omer says, still, kol d'avid rachman l'tav. Rabbi Akiva still said, whatever happens is for the best. So bei belaila asa geisa, shviya l'masa. So it said that same night, robbers came in and took all the people out of the town. Meaning they took captive all the people in the town. And Amar Luhu the next morning, Lav Amri Luhu Kol Masha Osa Kadosh Baruch Hu Hula Kol Tova. So upon finding out this in the morning, Rabbi Akiva turned to all of his people and said to him, didn't I tell you, right, if we would have been in the city, and if the donkey would have been alive, he would have mooed, and if the donkeys don't brew, they neigh.
Bray.
Bray. Okay. And if the rooster would have been alive, it would have cock-a-doodle-dooed. And if the candle would have been around, so people in the city would like, hey, what's they're doing? Their candle out there. We're going to go check it out, right? So therefore, all these things happen. See, didn't I tell you? Everything that happens is really for the best. Right? And that's kind of the mythical like goal that we think that we're supposed to reach. That maybe we're supposed to hold ourselves up to, right? Yikiv, that everything that happens is for the best, regardless of what happens, right? This appeared to be a disaster for Yikiv, and it turned out that everything was worked out. Right? And that happens with all the stories we hear of he missed the plane, then the plane, you know. You feel bad for the people on the plane, right? But you missed the train and the train, whatever. You missed all those things that happened. All those stories all go back to this Gemara of, you see, you're supposed to say everything's for the best, but really everything is for the best. Yes?
So then, why did Hashem send the robber and all the other people who got captured? So, you can't just be satisfied with that.
Right. Right, I don't expect you to be. I'm starting with this as a kind of why we're here tonight. this is the background as to, okay, what do we do with this in our lives? And this based on two psukim that I put on the top of page two, also just two famous psukim. Hatzur tamim palu ki kol derachav mishpat el munave ein avel tzadik v'yasharu, that God is perfect and His ways are just, and God does no wrong, and upright and just is He. Right, and the Tehillim, the pasuk of Tehillim that we say in Ashrei Tzadik Hashem b'chol derachav asid b'chol ma'asav, that God is righteous in all His ways and loving towards all that He has made. So then we're stuck with, really, really all the time. How are we supposed to see that? And even if we understand this. These two psukim, why did I pick these two psukim? I'm not so good at just thinking psukim out of my hat. So, out of the hat. So, I found in Rav Soloveitchik's Sefer, not his Sefer, but Rabbi J.J. Schachter's about the Rav Sefer on Tisha B'Av. So, he raises the question about kinos, and he starts out the paragraph by saying, how do we know that we're allowed to say kinos? Why are we allowed to say kinos? Tisha B'Av is the exception to the rule. Because the rest of the year, we're not allowed to ask why. And Tisha B'Av is the one day that we say Eicha. And he says, how could that be? Because the fallback position, says Rav Soloveitchik, is you're not allowed to say anything, and you're just supposed to believe Hatzur Tamim Palo Ki Chol Derachav Mishpat. And you're supposed to just believe Tzadik Hashem B'Chol Derachav Chi B'Chol Ma'asav. So the focus of that essay is, okay, but Tisha B'Av is different, but Churban HaBayis is different. Right? For some reason, for the Beis HaMikdash, we're required to, and it's good to, and all of that. But the rest of the time, he's saying we're not. Now, to be fair, that's a Sefer on Tisha B'Av. He's trying to build up the conflict towards Tisha B'Av. Right? But the implication is, the rest of the year, if I would take Rav Soloveitchik and throw him against the wall and say, Rav Soloveitchik, am I allowed the rest of the year to wonder why something happened? Right, would Rav Soloveitchik say absolutely not? Hatzur tamim palo chol derachav mishpat. So I'm not so sure. But these psukim certainly indicate that, or at least these psukim certainly indicate a value of saying everything's for the best. Kol d'avid rachman al d'tav avid. Whatever Hashem does is for the best, and it will all be good. So that's very difficult. Right, that's very difficult. So what do we do? What do we do with that? Okay, we're good so far? Any questions so far?
I'm not sure Tisha B'Av quite fits. I mean, it's not reacting to that because, the temple was destroyed because of the things that we did as a quid pro quo.
Right, could be that's the answer.
So,
could be the answer
but
is...
We're talking about bad things happening to people that have apparently not done anything.
Right. So the causality thing is section three. The causality thing is searching for causality. That's 2 weeks from tonight. If we make it till then, if we're not. But the searching for causality is one thing, but just assuming that everything is for the best seems to be the value that's coming out from those psukim. So there's another Gemara also about Rabbi Akiva. This is a very famous Gemara, and it did not make the Rabbi Akiva lectures. I just never found the spot to really fit it in. There's a famous Gemara at the very end of Makos. The Rabbi Akiva is walking around with a bunch of, with several other Tanayim. And it says, Kivin Shigila Harabayis Rose Shaul Yotze Mibes Kache Akashim, and he's walking with these other Tamidi Chachamim, and they see a fox running around in where the Kodesh HaKadoshim was. I mean, they come to Yerushalayim, they look into Harabayis, and there's a fox running around there. So everybody else cries, and Rabbi Akiva's laughing. So Amrulo, they say to him, why are you laughing? And he says to them, why are you crying? So Amrulo, they said to him, Malkum Shekasuv Bo Vazar HaKarev Yumas Va'achshav Shulim Holchu Bo V'lo Nivcheh. says, we were told, we have this idea, we know that if a czar, if a non-Kohen walks around in that spot, right, they die. They're going to get killed. And we've seen examples where they did die right there. And now a fox is running around there freely. How could we not die? That same Sefer of Salvechik describes a fox is a symbol of being like wilderness. Right? It's not like a cat's running around. Cats run around in the city. Foxes run around in the wilderness. And that was his that was his point. It's barren. So they respond. So Amru Lahen. So Rabbi Yekiva responds by saying, "That's why I'm laughing." But says, "Va'idali Edim Ne'amanu Es Urya Hakohen VeZacharya Ben Yivarchihu V'Chima Inyan Urya Eitzel Zacharya Urya Ben Mikdash Rishon VeZacharya Ben Mikdash Sheni." Right? Ella that these two Nevi'im prophesized that things would be bad. Ella Tolu Hakasim NevuAsoshel Zacharya Ben NevuAsoshel Urya. The two prophets have their nevuos tied together. But by Urya, he wrote, Urya was one who prophesied the destruction. Lachin biglalchem tzion sada techaresh. Because of you, Tzion is going to be plowed over like a field. Right? The Zecharia, it says, od yeshu zekinim vizekinos berachovos Yerushalayim. That by Zecharia said that one day Yerushalayim will have the older people will be in the streets of Yerushalayim and the younger, the full pasuk is, and the younger kids will be playing and the older people will be looking at the younger people, they'll be telling it, yelling at them to stop fighting. No, and everything will be beautiful. So Rabbi Akiva says, Achelon is Gaiman of West Social Uriya, until I didn't see the base of Migdash being plowed over. Hayisi Mis Yari Shalotis Gaiman of West Social Zecharia. Right? I was afraid that Zecharia's Nebuah may never be fulfilled. But now that the prophecy of Uriah was fulfilled, Biyaduish Nebuah Social Zecharia Miskayemis. Now I know Zechariah's prophecy will be fulfilled as well, right? Just as we see that the ground that the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, I know that one day as well, children will one day be playing in the streets of Yerushalayim once again. So, B'loshon Hazeh Amrulau, so in this language they said to him, Akiva Nechamtanu, Akiva Nechamtanu, and actually that shouldn't be there, that means Mesachas Makos just ended, okay? But the Mesachas Makos ends with the words, Akiva you've consoled us, Akiva you've consoled us. So this Gemara is a very famous Gemara for several reasons. One is it's just a very famous Gemara. The second reason it's a very famous Gemara is because it's the very end of Makos, and whenever anyone in Makos is very popular, Masechta is finished because it's very short, and therefore this is what gets read at the Siyums. But most of the times, who's the hero of this story? Right, the hero of this story is obvious, right? The hero of the story is Rabbi Akiva, right? The everybody's crying, and Rabbi Akiva saves the day with an understanding of Nevuah. So when we think about it, so we're like kind of plugged into, oh, we should all be like Rabbi Akiva and realize that even though the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt again. And really, when we see the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, we're all supposed to laugh at, oh, ha 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 ha, right? Now I know, not in a mocking way, but yes, now I see that coming. However, what halachos do we observe when we see the Beis HaMikdash as well as that? Right, so we tear Kriya, right? We still, right, despite the Gemara and Makos, and despite Rabbi Akiva, when we see the Beis HaMikdash in its form today, we tear our clothing, right? When even though we know that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt, we still observe Tisha B'Av. I was just reading this made a quote last time in Yehuda Avner's book about the prime ministers. Right, talks about the Six Day War ended a couple of weeks before Tisha B'Av, and there was a whole discussion. I'm not sure this was in that book, but it was something else I was reading. But there was a whole discussion about whether Tisha B'Av was going to be observed that year, because what do you mean, Beis HaMikdash b'Chorbano? Right, Yerushalayim is alive again. There are Jews all over Yerushalayim. How can you say it's the Chorbano? And I think in hindsight, now looking back 40 years later, and still seeing that it really is b'Chorbano. And we're still sad, and we still cry in Tisha B'Av, and we still tear Kriya when we go to the Kosel, right? And we still are sad at this. So despite the fact that Rabbi Akiva is telling us, no, look at it, it's a sign to be happy, us non-Rabbi Akivaniks, and not just us lowly people living in Wynwood in 2011, but also the people that were with Rabbi Akiva at the time. Does it say who, it doesn't say, the right? Right before it says who they were, right? Those Tanaim also were crying, right? They weren't, were not so bad. They were crying also.
You still have to go through the process. It's like, even if you say everything's for the good, and if you know it, and you think you know it in your heart, and you think you know it in your head, when something terrible happens, you lose a loved one or something, it still, it hurts, and you have to go through that negative process of grieving or of anger or whatever it is, even though you know they're in heaven, for example, they're with God. It's something that, it's like a human nature thing, that even though you know maybe it was for the best, it's painful.
Uh-huh.
And you have to live through that pain and do what's necessary for what
Excellent.
We're feeling to get past it, to get to the point again.
Excellent. So maybe I would call you... You're not drunk. I mean, you're obviously not a person with enough emunah, because you're going through that process. Or maybe you are. Or maybe you're normal. I don't know. Let's see.
Well, we have a morning process.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to bring out. That, yes, the hero of the story is Rabbi Akiva. But sometimes by acknowledging Rabbi Akiva as the hero, we forget about the story. I think the story is also very important, which is what Shelley's talking about, which is what I want to bring out over the next 20 minutes or so. So are you allowed to ask the question? So just for a couple of very quick examples, so we see the question is asked. These are serious Gemaras here, where this Gemara was done recently also. These are both Rabbi Akiva Gemaras, where Moshe ended up in Rabbi Akiva's classroom. Maybe remembers this. Moshe ends up in Rabbi Akiva's classroom. That's the whole story, but Moshe's a little bit confused. Not a little bit confused. He's very confused. He doesn't understand what a word Rabbi Akiva is talking about. And then that's the whole. Then Moshe's consoled, and that's the whole story. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Wow, this fellow Rabbi Akiva turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. First, he turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, "Well, he's so smart. Why don't you have Rabbi Akiva give the Torah?" And Hashem says, "Don't bother me. Right? Don't ask these questions. You're a mere mortal." You know, cool it. So Moshe says, "Well, I want to know what happens to Rabbi Akiva." Hashem says, "Fine." Sends him back in the time machine, and he's at by the executioner as Rabbi Akiva is being murdered. And Moshe Rabbeinu asks the question, "Zu Torah v'zu schara?" Right? Rabbi Akiva says, "This is Torah. I just saw him being darshaning psukim. I just saw him not inventing the Torah, but developing the Torah like nobody ever has before." Like, in a way that I didn't get it, and I heard the Torah from you yourself. And his schar is that he gets murdered by the Romans. So Kadosh Baruch Hu responds, "Shtok, quiet, kachal b'machshav lefana." You know, you're a mere mortal. Your thoughts don't stand a chance in front of me. Right? So we see Moshe Rabbeinu asks the question, and we see Kadosh Baruch Hu's response of, "Okay, that's a question, but we're not going any further." And another Rabbi Akiva Gemara as well, that when Rabbi Akiva, the same story, when Rabbi Akiva was being murdered, so the Gemara tells, "Amru malachi hasharis lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu," not just Moshe, but even the malachim themselves, said in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "Zu Torah v'su schara," the same question, to which Hashem responded, "You know, quiet, that's your job isn't to understand it either, malachim." Right? So, is Moshe a villain here? Right? Is Moshe doing the wrong thing? So what I realize is Moshe might not be doing the wrong thing. I mean, Moshe is doing the human thing. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is responding by doing the God thing. Right? The angels are doing the angel, more human type thing. And God is responding by saying, "Well, I'm HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you don't really get a say." However, I... Part four already. Wow. So far I've pointed out, or... developed the idea that there is an idea of cold off. Yeah, I'm sorry, there's page 3 and page 4. I see a couple here if anybody good. Okay. So far we've developed part 1 was that there isn't such an idea, right? That everything is for the best and that exists out there. Okay? Part 2 is that, you know, the story of Rabbi Akiva, we see that, well, it's not so clear that, you know, Rabbi Akiva maybe rose to that occasion. But the others didn't. The other tanoim, right? These weren't slouches. These were the other major gedolim of that idea did not get. They had the regular reaction of crying, right? And then the third thing is we see that even Moshe Rabbeinu and the Malachim are allowed to ask those questions. However, I would point out that we do have an extreme limit, meaning we're not allowed to say there is a limit as far as we can go in terms of our mourning. The question? The pasuk tells us, source number 10, "Banim atem l'Hashem elokeichem lo tiskodedu lo sasimu karcha b'ineinechem lamus." That Hashem says, "You are sons to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are children to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't Don't cut yourselves. Don't tiskodu is to break apart the differences. Tiskodu is a simu karcha b'nei nechem l'meis. You're not allowed to shave off things. You're not allowed to cut yourselves. You're not allowed to be extreme when it comes to mourning over the dead. So the Ibn Ezra comments, where did this come from? So the Ibn Ezra comments, Katam v'sharif v'nefesh, migziris al yadim gedudos, okay? V'lo sasimu karcha, k'mishpar ha-gayim ar ha-yom hazeh, in the way that the non-Jews do. So what does that mean? What is the meaning? What is the connection? Why does the Kadosh Baruch Hu at this point in the Torah say, Bunim, meaning you are my children, lo siskodu v'lo sasimu. So, achar shetedu, says the Ibn Ezra, once we know, shatem banim l'shem, v'oev eschem, and Hashem loves you, yoser me'av l'ben, more than a father loves a son, al tiskodu al kol ma she'yase, ki kol asher ye'ase l'tofu. So that you're not allowed to cut yourself over what happened, because everything that happens is for the good. So, wait a minute, you just saw the questions. What is Ibn Ezra saying? Right, I thought I just brought you a couple of proofs, a whole full page of lines saying that you're allowed to ask the question. You're allowed to say, how could this have happened to me? You're allowed to say, this is a tragedy, this is bad. So what is Ibn Ezra saying? Yeah, you could ask, but don't cut yourself. Don't go beyond that. I mean, there is a limit as far as you can go. To the point of that, oh, I'm going to disgrace myself, to the point, right, there is a minimum amount of emunah that you're required to have. The emuna of banim l'Hashem, the emuna of that you are children, and that things are for the good. Yes, you may not understand, and yes, you may be sad, and yes, you're going to tear your clothing, but to tear yourselves, that's going too far. And he's putting a limit. And that's what the Ibn Ezra is saying. There's a limit to as far down as you can go. There is a line here. This is from the Musaf on Yom Kippur I put down. The Musaf on Yom Kippur, the very end, which is at that point we're usually a little tired and a little cranky, but the last part of one of the last parts of the Musaf of Yom Kippur is the Eila Eskara, is recalling the martyrs, and it goes through them name by name, and one of them towards the end is Rabbi Yishmael, and. And that's also Rabbi Yishmael was with somebody else, and they chose lots about who would die first, and the eyes were taken, like that whole story. And then Rabbi Akiva is being killed. So this is from the Yom Kippur davening. So Sarfei Mala Tzaku B'mara, the Srafim yelled out Zu Torah V'Zu Schara. Right, this is Torah and this is Tzchar. Atei B'Shalma Ora. Oiv menaitz shimcha hagadol vehanora, that the you who are cloaking yourself in a garment, the enemy is going to make fun of you, right? Umacharehu megadef al divrei Torah, right? Very nice. Yes, God, you're being secretive, and we're malachim. We kind of get that, but everyone else, meaning the non-Jews, are laughing at you. The non-Jews are saying, you know, God is dead, right? Look what happened. Look, how could you allow this to happen? Not for Rabbi Yishmael. We understand Rabbi Yishmael, we're going to let that go. But for your shame, for your sake. So, Ansa Basko Mishamayim. So, a Basko, a voice came out from Shemayim. Im Eshma Kol Acher, Epoch Es Ha'olam Lemayim, Lesohu Vavohu Asu Hadomim. That a voice came out and said that if I hear one more word out of you, so it sounds like, if I hear one more word, I'm going to turn the world back to Sohu Vavohu. The world is going to go back to the way it was. What do you mean the way that it was? I mean, the way that it was. But Eretz Haisa Sohu Vavohu, right? The Torah of the world was a world without order. The world was a world without anything. It was the world. There was nothing. Right? It was a world without a plan. It was a world where I wasn't involved. So which would you rather? A world where I'm not involved, or a world with tragedy where I am involved? there in this in the sefer we've been quoting several times the last couple of weeks. So Minchas Asher on Shmos. So he gives an introduction to Sefer Shmos in the back. And the Sefer Shmos is a period of tragedy for the Jewish people, at least the first part. So he discusses this idea of Kol David Rachman Latav Avid. And he's the one, that's right. I don't know Musaf Yom Kippur by heart, but he's the one who pointed to this. And he gave Ema, he says, I heard a mashal once that I liked a lot about you have a beautiful cloth, and you bring it to the tailor, and you say to the tailor, I'd like you to turn this beautiful cloth into a beautiful dress. So the first thing that the tailor does is start cutting here and start cutting there and start, and the person's sitting there saying, oh my gosh, what's he doing to my cloth? So ultimately it's going to turn into a beautiful dress. And so that's if you sit there by the side of the tailor yelling at him, what are you doing? You're ripping it apart. What's the tailor going to do? What's the tailor going to do? I've had enough. Here's your tohu vavohu cloth. You keep this, and I quit. And I'm finished, and I don't want it to be involved anymore. So there is some line here. Now, the truth is, I was trying to figure out what did the malachim do here that was worse than what they did over Rabbi Akiva. Right? That doesn't seem to say. I mean, here they yelled out, said Zutor Zusara. Right? This is the Torah, and this is the reward. And by Rabbi Akiva also, they pretty much said the same thing. I mean, maybe here it says Bemara. They called out in bitterness. So here, Kadosh Baruch Hu responds in anger. But really, it wasn't really anger at what they did. It was anger at what they're about to do. It wasn't like children where you say, one more word out of you, right? It was more, okay, you're allowed that question, but you're not allowed to ask any more, right? Beyond the question of, I don't understand. So God is telling him, that's as far as you're allowed to go. But my point here is, but I'll permit that. I'll permit the Zutor Zuschara question. I'll allow that. I'll allow the Mis'ablam al Yerushalayim. Right? I'll permit that. But to go beyond that, I don't want to see it anymore. So, yeah.
The way this is represented in the prayer, this is the beginning of it, where the decree first emerges. So the questioning, the whole decree comes out that these 10 rabbis have to die. And Rabbi Yishmael goes up to the heaven and he comes back and says, yeah, there's really a decree. And then they take him out to kill him. So this is the beginning, and the angels appear to be questioning here, perhaps, the whole...
I'm not sure. This is the end. This is already up to Shin. Sarfay.
Well, yeah, but...
Actually,
there's a lot of preamble in that.
Yeah, but there have been a couple, I think...
I believe Rabbi Yishmael was
first. Rabbi Yishmael was first?
I believe so. But anyway.
Maybe. I'm not...
So I think here it's like a protest of the whole thing.
Protest of the plan going forward.
Has to go. And God says, well,
you can ask the same thing. You can say the same thing was at the end. They're turning around at the end and saying, okay. And I think in the Malachim's eyes, it doesn't really matter whether it's the beginning or the end. They know it's going to be taking place.
What they're saying or who's asking the question? Is that what's, I'm not sure which one Hashem is upset about. What they're saying and who's saying it. I mean, is this something that's okay for human beings to say, because it's not
Malachi Asharis that says it? Right, it's a good... Right, though my only issue with that would be is that in Source 9, the Malachi Asharis ask the same thing about Rabbi Akiva. Okay. Right, so... Yeah, I mean, the Midrashim don't necessarily all have to fit together. I mean, I could make that claim. Yeah, we could say that, but that would be a... You'd have to work that out.
So you're saying there's boundaries, basically.
Right.
Boundaries.
Right, at those times of sorrow, that while we are allowed to, not necessarily questioning the pasuk, but we're questioning, not necessarily questioning the tzaddik Hashem uchol derachachav v'chidi b'chol ma'asav, we're just questioning how it could possibly be. Right, So to go beyond that and therefore to do something physical to our bodies. Now, I'm not sure what's symbolized by doing something physical. I'm not sure what that is, but just beyond the raising of the question. That's what they're not allowed to, not supposed to do. So, I think the key is the Gemara that was alluded to. I think, or maybe a proof to this, the proof to the idea, the thesis that we're running here, is found. This Gemara was alluded to by the Gemara where we began. The Gemara of really everything should be for the best, and we Kashem Shem Varech HaKadosh Baruch Hu al HaBracha Kach. Kach mevarech al haklala, that we give curses both for the good as well as for the bad. So there's Gemara in Pesachim that spells this out. By Yashem Melech al kol haaretz b'yomahu Yashem echadish mevachad. Right, the end of Aleinu, that there will be a day where God will rule over the entire world, and on that day Hashem will be one and His name will be one. So atu ha'idna lav echadhu. So the Gemara asks, wait a second. We say Aleinu three times a day. We say, in the future, Hashem Echad Yishmo Echad. And now it's not? Now that's not the case, that Hashem Echad Yishmo Echad? Right, what does that mean, just Hashem Echad Yishmo Echad? Spell that at the end of the Gemara a little bit clearer. Maybe we'll just speak it out now. What does that mean, Hashem Echad Yishmo Echad, that we say at the end of Aleinu? Or in Shema, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So we've discussed this a few times here.
Everybody that the whole world will know?
Right.
The good and the bad is.
Right. That might be the point of this Gemara, but the idea of just Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad is the idea that really everything is godliness, that everything is from Kodesh Baruch Hu, that Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad, that the name of God is as the Gemara here will say, the name of God is referring to the way it's spelled, while the Hashem Echad is, the way we're relating to it. I'm not sure which one is which.
So basically, the problem is that things happen in the world. God ordains certain things, and we're the ones that put value judgments on them. We say something is good or something is bad, and basically, things happen in the world, whether we get rewarded, whether somebody dies, whether we get a raise or whatever things. But we're the ones that put the value judgments on them. So if we had total emunah,
right,
and everything. Nobody would ever be upset about anything because everything is from God.
Very good. So let's read. Fine. So since you went on that array, let's read the Gemara and then we'll settle this Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad business, right? So Amar. So Atu in the Lav Echad. Who really now things are God isn't one. So Amar Rabbi Acha Barachanina Lo Ka'olam Hazeh Olam Haba. That this world is not like the next world. Ha'olam hazeh al besoros tovos omer baruch hatov v'hametiv. On good news, we say baruch hatov v'hametiv. V'al besoros raos omer baruch dayan ha'emes. And when we get bad news, so we say baruch dayan ha'emes, that God is the true judge. Li'olam haba, however, in the next world, everything will be hatov v'hametiv. I mean, in the next world, when we look back and we understand, so we'll be granted that access also. We'll understand why it was necessary, and we'll be able to say, looking back, why everything was, once upon a time, really hatov v'amitiv. What's the point of this? What is this Gemara, though, saying? Right? In this world, what do we say? Right? If you're told of a tragedy, so our response is hatov v'amitiv. Is our response expected to be hatov v'hametiv? That's not the Gemara. The din is, the halacha is, our response is dayan ha'emes. Our response is, okay, it must be true. It must be, whatever. It must be. There must be a reason for it. But not that I'm going to recognize its goodness at this point. Right, a tragedy happens, doesn't obligate me to say, oh, it must have been for the good. So both the tzlach and Rav Soloveitchik make this point in a similar way. The tzlach we talked about here in Shul Chavisa, Rav Yecheskel Landau, also the author of the Nod of Yehuda. That shiur that we gave here was mostly men. So I'll tell the woman here, tzlach stands for Tzion Lenefesh Chaya. Right? So who's Chaya? Chaya is his mother. So he named the Nod of Yehuda, Shaya Sotshuvus, he named for his father. And the Tzion Lenefesh Chaya, he named for his mother. There was one other happen there. Oh, Tzion, the Lamed, right, the Tzion Linefesh, the Lamed of Nefesh, is the Gematria of Yehuda, so include his father's name in the whatever. But anyways, the Tzach was also an ancestor of mine, so I'm always fond of quoting the Tzach. So he makes the point here at the bottom about the original printing had underlines in it, and the two stages of copying, it seems to have lost its underline. So about eight lines from the bottom, it says v'zehu kavanos ha'maimer kan bi'olam hazeh omer al besoros roz dayan ha'emes shesover shezehu mitzad midas hadin. that post. I think if I look at something bad that happens, I say it's midas hadin. I say that it must be because of the judgment of the true judge. Meaning, okay, I accept the judgment. That's what tzidut hadin is, right? We accept the judgment at a funeral, or we accept it. The olam haba kula atova hametiv. However, in the future, everything will be atova hametiv. Perish shiyira lemafreya, that we're going to see retroactively shekulo hayamidas tova v'hayalo. We're going to see that it was really all for the good, and therefore I'm going to make the bracha of Hatova Hametiv. Rav Salavechik makes a similar point on the left side of the page. Right, he quotes the Rabbi Akiva Gemara that we talked about, that called Avid Rachmana Latavavid, and it's Vehutamua. He says, that's a wild. Halokish Adam Shari Bitsar Chalila Umargish Shemakoro Shaham Ora B'midas Hadin Halo Mitzvah Hu Lizok Bechol Chocho El Hashem Sheyaser Me'elav Esagzeres Ra. A person. What do you mean? When a person is in the lowest stages, right? If a person is ill, or their relative is ill, or something like that. You don't say Hatova Meitiv. The Rav Salavechik is saying it's stronger. He's saying absolutely not. You'd be crazy to. Right? You'd be crazy to say it's all for the best. Right? Rather, and you're commanded to daven. You're commanded to say, make this person better. How am I supposed to believe this? Right, they're at odds with each other. They're fighting each other. Ubir bezerabenu. So Rav Salvechik explained shekashira adam sharoi bitzara, that when a person is in tsar, when they're in pain, I love the hargish ulahamin shalamaros masha achshav beemes rahu. Person is supposed to say what's happening now is bad. Soful shel inyan ba'asid yelatov. However, in the future, it will be litov, for good. Uviglal kein kavu chazal shtei brachos shonos. That's why we have two brachos. Hashomea besoros tovos mevarech hatov ha'metiv. Rav ilu al shemuz ros, arei mevarech dayan emes. On bad things, he says dayan emes. Ve'en hakavan b'mamaro shel Rabbi Akiva l'tav avid sheragufa muhuva tova. Rabbi Akiva never meant to say that bad thing is good. Because if that was the case, we'd always say Hatov Ametiv. Ela Ka'amor. Rather, as we said, that we're allowed to assume that it's bad, meaning objectively, it's bad right now. It might turn out to be for the good, but right now I'm permitted, and it seems like the mitzvah, the din is to say, it's bad. Right? And assume that way, and daven that way, and act in that way. There's one more gemara that I came across today, which brings this point home, although it might leave some questions as well. But it's talking about the koach ha-tfila, the power of tefillah. A bunch of several gemaras in a row, several stories in a row, and brachos. So v'shuv ma'isa b'Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa shalach l'motor etzel Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa goes to learn by Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and observe and spend time by this Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Yochanan ben Zakkai, of course, is known as being one of the very big Tanaim, and not just big Tanaim, but also Kabbalist, a little bit more involved in Torah and Nistar than most of the other Tanaim were. So v'chala b'nosh Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's son became ill. So Amar lo, Chanina b'ni, he turns to Chanina, meaning the student that is now spending time by him, says, Nu Chanina, biki shal, I think Beni is just a euphemism, biki shalav rachamim v'yichya. Can you please ask mercy for my son so that he'll live? So Aniyach Roshu bein derkavu biki shalav rachamim. So Chanina puts his head between his knees, and he requests rachamim, he requests mercy, v'chaya, right? And it's, you know, his tefillahs were answered, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's son was cured. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Emoli hitiach ben Zakkai es rosho ben birkav kol yom kulo, lo haya mashgichim alav. If I, meaning Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai speaking now, if I would have done the same thing, and put my head between my knees the entire day, it wouldn't have brought my son back to life. So Amar lo ishto, so his wife turns to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and says, v'chi Chanina gadol mimcha, is Chanina greater than you, that he was able to bring your son back, and you weren't, and you wouldn't have been able to? So Amar lo, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai responds, Lav, no, I am greater. Elohu doma ke'eved lifnei ha-melech, v'ani doma ke'sar lifnei ha-melech. He is like an eved, he's like a servant to the king, and I'm like an officer to the king. So what does it mean, a servant to the king versus an officer to the king? So also in this Sefer, the Minchas Asher explains that a servant to the king doesn't get to go to any of the meetings. Right? A servant to the king is the person who vacuums the floors in the White House, or the cook in the White House, or the that person. That's the servant to the king. So he actually might know some things that are going on. He might actually hear some things, but he doesn't really know what the plans are. Right? He says, "V'yocha mezak," says, "I'm a tsar. I'm an officer. I'm in on the meetings. I not necessarily he's in on the, he doesn't discuss, but he's saying, but he, I think what he's saying is, I already have a greater degree of emuna. I already understand too well the idea of kol d'avid rachmana l'tav avid, of everything for the best. I'm beyond fila because I know it's for the best, and therefore I can't request it because, in a way, I've already seen the end. Now, he hasn't seen the end, and it's very difficult to understand what he means by that. That's the part that I'm stuck on. Right, what do you mean he can't? But the point is, the fact that you're not ready to say, oh, everything's for the best, and therefore I'll just accept all the bad things that happen to me. Right? The fact that you're not ready to do that seems to be a good thing. Right? That allows you to then do tefillah. That allows you to then cause, you know, difficult things to go away, and that itself is a great expression of humanity. So bringing it back to Rabbi Akiva, bringing it back to the story, two things about Rabbi Akiva that I want to point out at the end. Right, so we conclude by saying that no, humans are supposed to be in a spot of I don't understand, and they're supposed to be in a spot of I'm going to daven in order for things to be better. And yeah, in the back of my mind, I have this idea that really everything's for the best, and Hashem has a plan. But that doesn't affect me right now. Right now, I'm supposed to be striving to do things the best way that I can understand it. Now, two things to point out with Rabbi Akiva, right? The people were with Rabbi Akiva. And they say to Rabbi, they're crying, right? They see the Beis HaMikdash, the Chorban and the Bais, and they're crying. Rabbi Akiva starts laughing. So they ask, why are you laughing? Rabbi Akiva responds. So what's the conclusion of that Gemara? Right? The conclusion of that Gemara, if Rabbi Akiva was really right, so what would the conclusion of that Gemara really would have been? The conclusion of that Gemara should have been, you're right, Rabbi Akiva, you're right. We're not on as high a level as you, Rabbi Akiva. Right? That's not what their response was. Their response was, by Nicham Tanu, their response was, you've consoled us, Rabbi Akiva. Your statement of everything is really for the best has been a consolation for us. Not that we're ready to say, we understand it now. And not that we're willing to say, oh, if only we could have said the same thing as you, Rabbi Akiva. But you have been able to console us. And I think the point of that is also to learn from us that when we talk about this, oh, really, it might have been for the best. So you only say that to a person when they're ready for nechama, right? When they're ready to be consoled. So then you have the right to start saying everything is for the best. But before they're ready to be, before they will have the ability to respond with a word line of nicham tanu, so it's not a very good idea to bring up that statement. And the last, we'll leave that last thing. But the last thing that Rabbi Akiva, is how do you get to be this Rabbi Akiva? And how do you get to be? Rabbi Akiva is on a higher level. How do you get to that point of saying, well, everything, we could say it, and maybe we could. How does that work? So if we look carefully at that Gemara, the first Gemara that we quoted, with this line, called the Avin Rahman Latav Avin. So it's right in the middle of that, of source 4. Where Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, Mishum Rabbi Meir, V'chein Tam Nishmeid Rabbi Akiva, Le'olam Yehei Adam, Ragil Lomar, called the Avin Rahman Latav Avin. That a person should be used, a person should be in the practice of saying this. What do you mean, the practice of saying it? So it means, I think, that when things are the small things, right, with the small things that happen over the course of our lives, that, oh, I can't believe I lost my keys. Okay, so if I could say, maybe if I, when I lose my keys in the morning, so maybe that I could say, well, maybe there's a lesson for me to learn, is maybe that really is for the best. And when I can't find my other shoe, or when I can't find the tie that I wanted to wear, or if the car doesn't start on time, or the little things that we come across on a daily basis, so for that, I'll say, I can maybe get used to those not bothering us. That guy that cuts us off on the highway, right? Then maybe I could be on the level that for that I could say maybe that's for the best. And maybe then, with those little things, we could work ourselves, we could get used to, we could become rugged to say that everything's for the best. So we'll be able to at least get a stronger level of emunah to say even more tragic things, even then we can't understand it, are really also for the best. Okay? So, Yashikov, thanks for coming. We'll continue Mr. Shem next week.